this computer. Hey everyone, I'm starting to see you guys log on. Let me get my chat box set up so I can have that coming through. Hey everyone who's joining me, as you're coming on, let me know how you're feeling today as you're logging on. I feel like I haven't spoken to you all in ages. I really miss you. So I'd love to hear how you're going as you're joining me on the call today. Okay. Am I recording? Everything's looking all right. And we can get started. So this is our bonus class today. This is our final class in our mastermind journey. So I feel like sad. I feel mixed emotions. I always feel mixed emotions when I complete these programs. I feel sad because our journey is completing and all of this beautiful contact time that we've had is coming to an end. But you know, this is a really beautiful way to wrap up the journey is today's class. And, you know, as I've said to you, and I mentioned this last time we spoke, that this is just the beginning for all of you. And, you know, every ending precedes a beautiful new beginning. So chat box happening. So this is just the start, but it's, you know, I think everyone, you have mixed emotions when you come to some type of completion around something, whatever it is. And then for me, the all in the space that's being created, I've got a lot of space being created for me now, which is at times really scary to hold and feels, you can feel a little bit overwhelmed by it, but it is creating room for what wants to come next. And sometimes we just have to hold space and wait to see what's coming next. Amanda says, hi everyone. Sophia, so many shifts recently. Things are still a little contrasty, but definitely in that process of transition and growth. There is so much going on in the world, and I've been, you know, very quiet around everything. I personally have had to just really step away over the past few days and take a lot of space for myself. The intensity of the energy is next level. Like, I can't even describe it. We had the full moon, Sagittarius full moon over the weekend eclipse. We're in a series of three eclipses. We've obviously got everything that has unfolded in the Black community and the intense push for those of us who are white and who benefit from white privilege to really start to look at ourselves and the role that we're playing in this space and particularly in this industry. And there's been a lot rising for us to face and witness. And on top of that, I have just not been sleeping. If I was to be completely honest, I'm really struggling with some sleep stuff at the moment and have just really needed to take a lot of space away. And if that's what you're needing at the moment, give that to yourself. You know, sometimes I feel this real inner conflict around at times the knowing I have a platform, I have a voice, I have a responsibility to use my leadership to support others, to show up, to advocate and speak on important topics. But when you're barely even surviving yourself, you know, that's the time that you have to step away and say, I need to recharge and nurture myself before I can be of service to others. You just have to. So that's the process I've been in. I'm feeling so much better today, so much lighter and clearer and calmer, which I think has come as a result of my willingness to just like literally barely even be on Instagram over the weekend and just really be in my own little healing cocoon. And it's so like, if you're needing that, when you honor it, it will only take a day or two and then you'll be able to come back so re-energized and so refreshed. But sometimes when we keep showing up because we think we have to, like I feel guilty. Like I feel like I've stepped away from my groups a lot and there's a lot of like guilt around that, or stepped away from my online conversations. But like I've had to really be like, you know, I don't even have capacities for anything, right? I haven't over the past few days. So when you honor that and then you know, you trust what your body's asking for, then you can come back and be the leader that you want to be. We can't do that when we are barely even surviving in our own energy. Beautiful Dawn, I realized I needed space too. Sophia, been feeling the same, needed some time away. Gemma, it does feel like forever since we've talked. I've also stepped away. It's been challenging. It's totally okay to do that for ourselves. Dawn, the moon explains a lot. We are in very, very transformative energy with eclipses over the coming weeks. So we will all need more space and more time and more rest and more self-care to be able to move through the intensity of what's going to be arising both within us and around us, because I'm navigating things both within me and around me. So you've got a lot going on. Amanda, huge shifts. The world is changing. I've had a lot of dreams, quite unsettling. So taking time to listen and give space, beautiful. And that's the thing, like we're processing things subconsciously, like when we're sleeping, and even when we are taking space, there's still processing happening within our inner world. So yeah, it might be coming out in your dreams. I've also taken last few days, Gemma, to go back to all the work we've been doing, getting back to my purpose and my whys. I love that. Feeling clearer and lighter from this too. Hi, Kylie. Interesting. Gemma, I relate to that. Gemma was like, I feel like I was hiding for a while, but then I reframed it to self-honoring. That was so important for me as well, because you can't actually rest and recharge if you've got self-judgment going on. And that was what my problem was, that I knew I needed space, but there was all that inner dialogue. Connie, like, you're not being a leader. Connie, you're not showing up. You're not using your voice. You're hiding, you're avoiding. And sometimes that's the case. Sometimes we do hide because it's too much. But other times it's like if literally my energy field went into absolute fight or flight and I couldn't even unwind, I couldn't fall asleep, I couldn't anything. And that's, none of us can be of service when we're feeling like that. So it's so important to reframe it. Sophia, yes, so many dreams have been crazy and eye-opening. Kylie, my grandfather was Aboriginal and my uncle by marriage is Aboriginal, and there are so many feelings around Black Lives Matter. It's been challenging. Oh my gosh, the collective pain and grief. It's almost like, you know, we've had these catalysts that have come up, and it's like it is just unlocked decades of pain that have been sitting below the surface. For Black communities, for our Indigenous people in Australia, for people of color in general, that it's like that's been there below the surface for them in their bodies and in their energy fields. And maybe we've known it, but we haven't faced it. And it's like something got unlocked and it all just went and came up. And whether you're individually affected by it, which obviously some people are, this is much more personal for some people. I'm a privileged white person that can look at it and be objective and be able to process it in a different way to if it was my personal experience and something I've been carrying personally for years or decades or centuries even. So it is, you know, this is something I'm having to face around privilege, is it is a privilege to be able to step away. It is a privilege to be able to take a break. It is a privilege to be able to choose when and if I want to engage in that conversation. And I'm having to witness my privilege without going into too much self-judgment around it. It's easy to do, but also to understand that the huge collective grief and pain that is rising at the moment for so many people, that if we are a sensitive person, we're feeling other people's pain. We're empathizing, we're trying to hold space for that, but that's big for us to hold. And then people that are having very individual personal experiences, you're feeling probably both your own pain intensified and the pain of your community or your family line or, however it impacts you, right? So lots of honoring for where we're at, lots of self-love and self-care. But, you know, once we feel strong again, we get back to work and we get back to doing the work that we need to do to ensure that we are breaking down racism as an issue in our society, because it's effed up. I think some of the images we've all been seeing have been pretty horrific if you've been watching things on Instagram, and I think it's more than clear that there is radical and drastic change that needs to happen both in communities and collectively, but in us individually, in the way that we think, the way that we act and operate. So lots to look at. Yeah, authenticity, both with Kylie and Connie, and anyone who chooses not to engage. That's me. Yeah, you know, I don't want to go on about this for too long, but it's such an interesting space to be in, where obviously we all have free choice around how we navigate this. But yeah, the amount of judgment I've seen flying around, which I'm not making anyone wrong for judging others, because I think we're being called to account. But there's some heavy negative energy going around judging other people's processes. So let's just let that full moon clear that. And let's get into talking about it. And I guess the reason I'm talking about it is, sorry, just on a final note, I've seen some debates going around, like, is life coaching about human rights? Is, like, as life coaches, should we just talk about coaching? And it's up to you. But I personally am not just a life coach. I'm a woman. I'm a human. I'm a white woman. And if I'm a leader of any capacity, for me personally, and I have a platform, I have a responsibility to step outside of just being a coach and to remember I'm a human and to focus on humanity. And so I personally do feel that my platform and my work includes everything that's going on environmentally, from, you know, race issues, cultural issues. My platform is going to include that because I'm a human. But some people are just like, no, I'm a coach and my platform doesn't need to include anything around that type of stuff. So it's up to you. But I personally want to use my platform to explore all aspects of being a human. Okay. So today's bonus class is about how to build a thriving business in the coaching and wellness industry, plus my personal business journey. So I've weaved a lot of my personal business journey into all of the classes that I've taught you. But this one, you know, I wanted to add on a bonus class just to go a little bit deeper into it, to give you more of an opportunity to ask any questions around different things that I've practiced and done, how I've navigated different challenges, and to share with you the things that have worked for me and the things that I've practiced and used to help me get to where I am. So, I'm just going to dive on into that. And if you at different points want to ask questions or chat in the comments box, I'll keep just checking in with that to see what everyone's feeling and sharing. So, I feel like most of you kind of know my journey, but let me just follow kind of how I feel to go with it, kind of going back to the start and then dropping in different things that have worked as I've moved through my journey. So, you know, where I began is probably where a lot of you have begun, is in a place of, most of us kind of have jobs because that's what we were kind of taught to do, come out of school, get a job, build your career path. And then at some point you begin questioning things because you're going through some type of personal journey within yourself, and you discover self-help, you discover spirituality or health or wellness, or there's some type of personal journey you go on that becomes the catalyst for you to question things and to question the life that you've built and the world that you're living in, and whether it's actually really in alignment with your authentic self and with what you want to do. And that was very much the case for me as I came on my journey of doing my own self-development work. And it made me realize that the career path I was on wasn't my true calling, and that there was something else I was here to do. And so we talked about this in the first masterclass, this inner calling, right? Where this voice starts to say to you, hang on, there's more. There's something else for you to do. There's this passion and this energy and this aliveness and this inspiration sparking within you. You have something to contribute to the world. And so that's where it began for me, with that voice. And that voice was with me for a very long time, as it probably has been for you, very long time before I turned it into anything. I heard that voice speaking to me for years before I had the courage to act on it. And so the journey of building whatever your business, your work in the world is, begins through the deep listening and honoring to that voice and the acting on that voice, which is why you are all here and what you have begun doing through this mastermind journey. You've begun listening to that voice, not to all the programming around who you need to be and what you should do and what makes sense and what will get you money and what will keep you safe and secure and what will fit you in with the Joneses, or in my case, what will make my dad proud. But really what that, like, that inner calling, that inner whisper, that inner voice is saying, this is what you're here to do in the world. This is who you're here to be. And so the journey begins when we start listening to that voice and we start acting on that voice. And that was where my journey began. So working in a day job, hearing that voice start to rise, just starting with a lot of journaling. I would do a lot of writing and a lot of it was personal practices. But then the real beginning point was when I started to share all of that writing publicly. And that's when I turned, it was pretty much like I literally turned my journal into a blog. That was how I started. So I started up a blog. This was like so long ago now, but started up a blog. And most of the articles and the posts that went up on that blog, and if you want to read my original blog, if I haven't shared it with you before, it's called A Life of Perfect Days. And it's a Blogspot. So I don't even think Blogspot's really around anymore, but I use that blogging platform, A Life of Perfect Days. Blogspot.com, I think it is. And you can go read like my original blog. And that was pretty much began with these beautiful reflections I would have in my journal. And I was like, this is really powerful stuff. I'm just going to put this into a blog post. And so that was like my first step, was the really honoring what was coming through me and the courage to share it and let it be seen and let others experience it. And that began to shift me out of, you know, when we go through this shift out of kind of like student into teacher, or out of like, this is about me, my personal journey, to this is now about serving others. There's a shift that happens, and a lot changed for me when I went through that shift. And it kind of made my journey feel more real and more like, made my, just like what I wanted to create more real. And it kind of elevated me into more of a teacher space rather than just a student. And so that's why throughout this journey, I've often encouraged you to do things like create a platform or create a blog or begin sharing your insights and your thoughts, because you go through a real energetic shift when that happens. When you sort of stop identifying just as the learner and the student and now as someone that has wisdom and value to share. And as we talked about this in our last group coaching call, that we'll all have the fraud complex, the who am I to teach about this? I don't know enough. I'm so still imperfect. I'm still in the trenches of my own work. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. It doesn't mean you can't teach. That doesn't mean you don't have things to share. That doesn't mean you are not ready. So we will often have the story, I'm not ready. And I 100% had that story. But when I began, I didn't start sharing things from the idea of I'm an expert. And I really try to not even share from that place now. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be perfect. And for ages, I had the story, my life is a total mess. How can I teach others? And I've said this to you before, but I'm just, you know, I'm reiterating everything I've taught you in the mastermind now, that what qualifies you is your willingness to do your work. If you are doing your own work and you have experienced some type of shift or change within yourself as a result of the work that you've done, you were once here and you're now here, then this, you are qualified to teach this. It's so much more about, like, you are so much more qualified based on actually really getting in and doing the work than you are based on whether you have a certificate to say you have some type of qualification or you're some type of expert. So what allowed me to start to teach others was I really looked at my journey and I looked at everything I had experienced throughout my life. And I began to see, look, that was once a place where I got stuck on fear and I was able to overcome fear. How did I do that in that situation? Or here's a situation where I used to always live for my dad and pleasing him. But then I started to learn how to please myself and honor myself. How did I do that? Well, here's an experience where, I used to have an eating disorder and I used to practice self-harm and all these horrible things, but I overcame that. How did I do that? So I looked at these, and I've encouraged you to do this through the mastermind. I looked at these key things throughout my journey that I'd already navigated, you know, key turning points, key challenges, key lessons that I'd learned, key healing that I'd done. And that became the foundation of what I started to teach. You know, I wasn't teaching anything like I'm teaching now because I hadn't walked that journey yet, but I started with what I did know. And I started sharing from a place of being like people's friend. I think a lot of people saw me like that at the start as like, this woman's just like my bestie that sits there and gives me some awesome advice. That's how a lot of people described my blog in the early days. They'd be like, oh, it's just like you're that wise best friend of mine that like tells me really supportive things. So that was a nice starting point for me. And so I shared my writing on the blog, and it was really just to give a voice to all of the work I'd done behind the scenes in my own life. And also through teaching, you learn more. So every time you go to teach something to someone, it's like you integrate it more. So it serves both you and others. I was very real and authentic and down to earth when I started as well. I didn't at all come out all knowing. I came out in I was very willing to talk about my challenges. I was very willing to talk about the places I was still navigating things. I think what worked for me in the early days was I really brought my audience on a journey with me. They really felt like they were on a journey and they were with me and they were watching as I was navigating things. And as I went off to do my training, and then when I quit my day job, and I kept them coming on the journey with me. And so you enroll people in to your message, you know, they become, it's like, you know, when you're watching like a reality TV show and you what's going to happen next in this person's life. And not that because you're some reality celebrity, and not that you want to create that, but understand when you bring people in to your journey, they become intrigued and interested, and they become inspired by watching you. And so it's actually better to be bringing people on the journey than is to wait until you're perfect and then try to teach from that space. And they're like, sorry, who are you? And what's the journey that you walked? And what qualifies you to be here? But if you've brought them with you on that, they know that. And that worked really well for me in the beginning. I've said this to you as well before, but the amount of self-doubt and fear and not good enough stories and worrying what other people think, all of that jazz, like that was off the Richter, the amount of that I had to navigate. And we can do all of the inner work around that, and that's incredibly important. But ultimately, and I'm recognizing this more than ever now, ultimately the only thing that gets you moving forward is you literally just have to step right in and step right through that. So what helped me at the start and what worked for me was I had self-doubt, I stepped in anyway. I had fear, I stepped in anyway. I felt like I wasn't good enough, I stepped in anyway. I had this energy in me in the early days where I literally would shake and I'd be terrified, but I was still, like what Gemma was saying, coming back to the why. Why is this important? Why do you want to share this stuff? How do you want to contribute? What is driving you to step beyond all of your resistance? You've got to find that thing that's going to pull you beyond it. And ultimately, the only way you break through it is you just step through it. It's actually a choice to show up regardless of all of that. So as you all know, I went on to, after starting on the blog, I worked with a life coach. She was phenomenal for me and really showed me the value of life coaching. I learned from her about a college that I could study at, because I didn't even know how to become a life coach. But I said to her, I'm like, is this a legitimate job? Like, how do I do this? So she said, this is a college that I studied at. I signed up for them, and I'll never forget the day that I signed up. It was like I was making a $12,000 commitment. I think that's how much my training was, because I initially signed up for a diploma of life coaching. It was either $12,000 or $14,000. And I got on the phone with the lady, and I wasn't making that much money back then. I was working community services and didn't have any savings. I got on the phone with this woman, and I was like, I want to sign up. And I handed over my credit card details. And I was like viscerally shaking. I felt like I was going to throw up. And I got off the phone and I had to go for a run. I had so much adrenaline going through my body. And I'm sharing that because, again, I don't want you to think that you have to get rid of fear or get rid of discomfort in order to begin. It's not going to happen that way. You just have to step through it. And every time I've made the most uncomfortable commitments and decisions and taken the most uncomfortable step, that's when I break through. Not when I sort of sit and wait for that feeling to go away. So I signed up for my life coach training and making commitments, whatever the commitment is, like the commitment to being this mastermind. Every time you commit in a deeper way, it elevates and expands and accelerates you. So I made that commitment and I was like, that's it. I'm kind of all in. And I don't know what it was that was driving me back then, but I was just fierce and I was willing to do absolutely whatever it would take to build this business. And I signed up for my life coach training. I think I told you this. And I just was like, who wants to be coached? I will coach anyone and everyone. I don't care who you are. I need to practice because I was a terrible coach. I'll be completely honest. I was terrible. Even though I had done like 10 years of personal development work, I didn't know how to create change in a client. And I was so terrified and self-conscious all the time that it was always about me in a session. And I couldn't figure out how to serve my people because I was so scared to get it wrong. And so I think I told you guys this, but my mum, dad, and my sister got signed up for 6 sessions of coaching with me, which was a disaster. You're not meant to coach your family, and my family weren't into being coached. But I was like, I don't care, guys. I need to practice, so you have to sit here with me, and I'm going to coach you. And then any friends of friends, I was like, I actually sent around emails and Facebook messengers to anyone that I knew. And I was like, hey guys, I'm a new coach. I'm doing my training. I'm offering 3 free sessions, 6 free sessions. If you know anyone who wants some support, send them my way. So I was aiming to not coach friends, but friends of friends. And so I had a lot of people be referred to me. And I just coached as often as I could to build up my skills and confidence. And I was still writing the blog and I was still working in my day job and I was still studying. And I pretty much just went at that hardcore for about 6 to 12 months. And I really admire myself for that. I mean, I don't know where that drive in me is, and it's something I've been feeling into. I'm like, how do I find that real fire in me again? Because it was there in the early days. And I was so, like, nothing would stop me, even though I was terrible at coaching and I was really afraid. And so if you are interested in becoming a coach or coaching, I know I've got a few people in here, just a few notes on that. Doing my training did really, really help me. I think we talked about this at one point in the mastermind. You don't have to do training or get certified. I do know people who are coaching who don't have that. However, it really helped me with my confidence. It gave me a lot more confidence. It helped me feel a lot more legit in what I was doing. I also, you know, learned a good structure and framework for how to run a session. And it kind of just made it feel like a more professional business for me. So although I don't really coach using the method I was taught anymore, doing the training was invaluable for me and really, really helped me. And I would recommend anyone who's wanting to get into coaching that you have some type of training behind you, because I just found it really, really helpful personally. But ultimately, from my perspective, being a good coach is just about being a fantastic listener, being a really curious person, so getting really curious to your client, asking great questions. So when you come into a session, think about it less as like, I've got to have the answers and give my client advice, because that puts lots of pressure on you. And more like, my only job is to ask them questions that will help them find the answers within themselves. If you can ask really good questions, you can actually, like, that person just unlocks insights and realizations themselves. And that was one of the biggest things I took away from my coach training, was learning how to ask fantastic questions, very open-ended, explorative questions that allowed a person to just make the connection in their own head. And that took the pressure off me. So if you're ever, if you are ever stepping into the coaching space and ever being like, oh my God, what do I do in a session? Step back from needing to have the answer and needing to give advice, and step more into a space of curiosity and asking really genuine, open-ended questions that will allow that person to unpack what's going on for them. So yeah, that really helped me in the early days to make it less about me. That's the other thing as well. Like, if you've ever received coaching, and most of you would have or may have had a session with me, think about it. When you're in the session, your focus isn't on the coach. Your focus is on yourself. Clients are very much in their own personal processes. And the more that you have someone talking about themselves, and they get really associated into their experience. They're not thinking about you. So you put all your focus on the client as well. I almost sometimes become invisible in a session. Like I'm just a mirror and it's not about me. It's not about me performing or being good enough. It's about me putting all my awareness in that client. I pay attention to everything. I watch how their eyes move. I watch the color changes in their skin as they're talking about different things. I notice if their voice goes faster or slower, if there's a little bit of a quiver, if there's emotion rising in them. And that's my only job, is just to be watching everything and saying, tell me more about that. And how did that make you feel? And why is that a problem for you? And how is that holding you back? And how might that be serving you? And where does that come from for you? When do you first remember experiencing that? And just unpacking stuff. I have another train of thought on that. There was something else that was dropping in. And then the more that I would do that as well, my intuition comes a lot into sessions now. And I get a lot of information about clients and a lot of intuitive guidance come through as I work with them. But that took about 2 years to drop in for me. It took about 2 years of consistent coaching before I could get really super plugged into my intuition in the session. So if that takes time, that's totally fine as well. That really comes from the less you're in your head, the more you'll be able to pick up on guidance for your clients. Was there anything else on that? And I think, sorry, I'm just feeling into if there's anything else. Yeah. If you have any questions actually about specific coaching stuff, I'm not looking at the chat box at the moment because I'm just going to chat for a while, but I'll check back in with it. And if you have any specific questions, then just post that in there. So we talked about transitions in our transition masterclass. And you know what's so interesting? It's like, have I said this to you before? The whole entire way I built this mastermind was just simply reflecting on my personal journey. Like your personal journey can be turned into programs and your key offerings, the key ways you serve your clients. We've mentioned this before, but your ideal client is most likely who you were a few years ago and who she's encountering the challenges that you had a few years ago that you've sort of been able to overcome. So when it came to creating this mastermind, you know, one of my key offerings over the past couple of years, I just looked at, okay, I was once this woman in a day job, completely disconnected from my heart, my passion, didn't know what I wanted, stuck in fear. And here I am now running a six-figure coaching business. I've been doing this for 8 years and have overcome so many of my blocks. All right, cool. How do I teach that? So I just went back. And every masterclass, I literally have put it in sequential order of what I had to navigate and how I went through it. And so this is where like your life experience becomes the gold that you're here to teach. It's really powerful. So transition, we talked about that in one of our masterclasses because that was a key part of my journey as well. There was then the transition of building up my business outside of my day job to allow me to leave my day job. And we talked about the importance of allowing that to be a transition process. That stuff doesn't happen overnight. It is a big journey to navigate. You don't want to leap too soon and put immense financial pressure on yourself because then you're operating out of fight or flight. And you've got to be really like in tune with your intuition as you're moving through that to know when is truly the right time to go either part-time or all in to whatever your passion is that you want to build and create. But I'm all for transition processes, and they're difficult because you kind of got one foot in the old and one foot in the new, but they allow you to just keep putting energy into what you want to build and create gradually, and then set up a foundation and then you can then expand on. So I went through a big transition process, but I just kept tuning into my intuition and did get to a point where it was like, it's time to leap. And I do think I've told this story before, but that I made the decision. I was very, very clear that if I was ready to leave my job, I built up enough experience and client base in my business to be able to leap. And I went in to resign and sat down with my manager, and she offered me part-time, which in previously I'd been like, all I just wanted was part-time so I could keep transitioning. But I'd made the decision that morning that I was resigning, and I'd already told people. So she sat down with me and she's like, look, we know you're doing this thing. We want to offer you part-time. And I was like, that's amazing. But I walked in today knowing I was going to resign. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm out. And everyone was like, so Connie, what are you doing exactly? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to build a coaching business. And they're just like, what? Well, I just had a lot of belief in myself. I just had that intuitive knowing, and I leapt. And as I taught you in one of our masterclasses around your offerings, I did a free challenge, which built up a beautiful community of people on a mailing list and in a Facebook group. And then I turned that free challenge into an e-course, a paid e-course that then brought in the financial resources that I needed to support myself as I leapt into the grand unknown and started my business. And look, I guess there's kind of two ways you can go about it. And I teach a lot from my experience of doing it, but I think there's also a whole other way that you can do it. My kind of way of doing it was pretty messy. It was like, let's just get started. Let's follow our intuition. I don't really have a niche. I don't really have a clear plan of what I'm doing. I'm just going to get in there and just build as I go. Or I've also watched other people do it where they actually spend a lot more time preparing and getting clarity, and they really do hone down on their niche, build a very clear website that specifies what they do, have very clear offerings, and kind of have more of a plan and a structure and a vision before they step in. And it's totally up to you how you want to do it. The way that I did it allowed me to just get right in and start building and growing and getting onto my path and just going for it and overcoming perfectionism and all that stuff and just getting in there. And the benefits of that were that, you know, I dived right in. I wasn't delayed by all this prep work, and people really came with me on the journey. People saw my courage. People saw what I was doing, and they were inspired by that. The downsides of that was I think I missed out on getting some really solid foundations in place in my business that needed to be there, like financial systems, having support of like a VA or an assistant that probably would have been really useful to bring that in. I didn't start with a niche. I started very generalized. I also ran a lot on adrenaline as I was building that. So if you want to spend a little bit more time getting really clear on your target market, your niche, your offerings, your pieces of content, all of that before you dive in, that's totally okay. I guess the thing you've got to watch out for on that approach is perfectionism, because we can do that and do that and do that and never feel like we're ready. And at some point, you're just going to have to be ready. there's always more to learn. Your business and your work in the world is going to continue to evolve, and I think give yourself full permission to let it evolve. Where you start might not be where you end up, and I would say just start wherever you feel to start. Start with whoever you feel like are the people you want to speak to and whatever you want to talk to them about, and know that it's going to evolve. I've watched so many people in my industry completely evolve as they've gone on their business journey. And that's perfect and beautiful and totally fine, because you're human and you're going to evolve. I've watched people begin as health and nutrition coaches, now move into teaching about business and relationships, or people who started off, I know one woman who actually doesn't have any formal coach training behind her. She coached for a while and now she's doing essential oils and has built an amazing network marketing business. So you're going to continue to evolve, just like me. Like, my experience now of being in relationship and exploring my feminine has made me really want to come into honing in on those conversations, but that's not where I started. So give yourself full permission to evolve. Your brand, your business, your messaging, your work will evolve with you as you go. But we do need to just find somewhere to begin. So it's totally up to you to look at, am I either at a place where everything just feels too messy, you know, and there's some more things I need to sort out and get ordered and set up for me to leap? Or can I see that I'm totally procrastinating on wanting to get things perfect and I just need to start somewhere? So you'll have to look at that within yourself. I would also say, you know, one of the things I really committed to when I started was that I'm in this for the long haul. This is a long game for me. And it's very easy to look at people's journeys and think they're like some overnight success or think that things have happened really, really quickly. You never know how much work has happened behind the scenes before someone's kind of gone pop. And my commitment is I'm in this for the long haul. I intend to be in this for the rest of my life. So yeah, I haven't written a book yet and I haven't traveled around the world speaking on stages yet. And they're things that I really, really want to do. And I've watched other women in my industry already do. But I'm like, I'm in this for the rest of my life. So those things will happen in the right time. And I'm not going to overwhelm myself and feel pressure around all the things I'm not doing. I'm going to focus on what I can do right now. And know that, yeah, just take some of the pressure off for me where I'm like, this is going to be me for the rest of my life. So I'm so excited. I'm on my path. And let's just drop that time pressure of having to do everything tomorrow and just, you know, build gradually. So yeah, going back to my point before, I would spend a little bit of time just ensuring you have whatever foundations in place that you need. Things I didn't have in place, like I mentioned, were like bookkeeping systems, tax systems. I would get that set up really early on. Get your accounts audited in the early days. Split your personal and business. Understand things like GST reporting if you're in Australia, and if you're at that, you may not be at that level yet, but understand things like that. Have a bookkeeper or an accountant. Understand tax and how you're going to pay tax on your business. You just get that side of it sorted, because I didn't deal with that until a few years later and it was messy and stressful. It's all really well ordered now, but that took me a long time. And be willing to outsource for support as early as you want. Again, I waited a really long time to be bringing on an assistant or a VA. I think the earlier you do that, even though it's an investment, it's a really great thing to set up, a really great habit to set up where you know what your zone of genius is and what isn't. You know, why would I, for example, how many hours have I spent becoming an audio technician and figuring out podcasting and editing and sound quality and mics and all this stuff when I've watched some people launch a podcast and as soon as they launch it, they've already got a post-production system set up. So maybe look at some of the things that as you're beginning to step into creating things, okay, where can I outsource? Where can I get some help? Do I want to be my own graphic designer and do everything in Canva? Or do I want to have someone who helps me design things? Look at the places where you might want to outsource. Otherwise, you end up becoming very burdened by all the different elements of running a business. Finances, marketing, content, clients, systems, technical stuff. There's just so much to manage. So look at the places you might want to outsource in the early days and get some support. A couple of other things that worked really well for me in the early days was building, I think we did talk about this in one of the classes, you know, building relationships with other people in my industry. I had a really beautiful community in the early days of people who were also bloggers and women coaches and starting out around the same time that I started out. I joined Marie Folio's B School program, and then she has a great Facebook community there. I met a lot of women in my industry through being a part of that program. So your relationships with other people in your industry are invaluable. When I look in the early days of my business of the way that I got features, so media features, I was featured in quite a few magazines. I'd get, you know, invited to do a quote for an article that someone was writing where I got featured. I actually had a 3-page spread done on me once. I got interviewed on a lot of podcasts. If you go to my media page, I've been interviewed on a lot of podcasts. A lot of that came through relationships that I'd already had in place, not just through people happening to be like coming across me and being like, I'd love to interview her, but people who knew me, people who, a lot of my media features came through friends and people who had a friend who worked for a certain magazine, or I had a friend who was a feature writer for Dolly and Cleo. And so she would think of me when it came to needing someone for a quote. So building relationships with people is, and even when I would launch things in the early days, my friends and peers would give a shout out on the Instagram, like, oh, Connie's launched this program. So you want these relationships and connections to be genuine, of course. And you can build them genuinely by identify people in your space, in your industry, who you admire, who you'd like to form a connection with, and then build a genuine connection with them by, you know, genuinely engaging their content. Watch their stories and reply and send a DM and start a conversation. Leave supportive comments on their page. Reshare their posts. And that person will start to become aware of you and will start to be like, oh, that person's like really supporting me in what I do. I always pay attention to the names that I see recurringly pop up in terms of sharing my content or DMing me or post or commenting. That you notice the recurring names, or if someone sends out a newsletter and you're on their list, just send a reply and be like, that was an awesome message, thank you so much. And they'll become aware of you and you can start to form relationships. And that happened in the early days, and then we'd sort of be like, hey, we're so similar, let's go have a tea, or let's jump on a Skype call and get to know each other a little bit more. And not only does that support you, because you build around you a community of inspiring people who are doing what you're doing and you all cheer each other on, but it's great for opportunities. You know, that person could, someone could come to them and be like, hey, do you know someone who does this? And they're like, oh yeah, like there's this girl that I connected with and she does that. I'll put you in touch with her. And that's how you grow, is through relationships. So don't underestimate the power of putting effort into building relationships with people in your industry. What else do I have here? I'll check in the comments in a second. I'm just seeing if there's anything else that I've wanted to share in my notes. I'd also say in the early days, another thing that really helped me, I'm probably not the best at that at this right now, I'll be completely honest, but in the early days, I was so consistent. My consistency was probably one of my best qualities and most successful aspects of what I was doing. So this was back in the days when Facebook was the platform to use, and I without fail posted on my Facebook page every single day. Every single day I would put a quote or image off Pinterest or a little bit of inspiring wisdom for my audience. And I remember so many days, I was in my day job at the time, and my boyfriend at the time would be at my house, and he's like, we need to go to work. Like, we had to drive to work. And I'd be sitting there at my desk and I'm like, I can't go until I get this Facebook post up. And I was so committed to it. And if you can pick one thing, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, just your own writing on a blog, and create some consistency around it, that's a great way to start to build a community, if there's consistent content happening or something consistent that your audience is on, like there's momentum building there. And when I was writing on my blog, I would write every week, and it was kind of non-negotiable that every week I would write it and it would be sent out to my audience, that the blog post for that week. And so people came to expect it. And that consistency, it's something I'm trying to work on more now in my business, but I know the people that consistently post, you're almost awaiting their content because you know that something's coming. So that consistency really helped me in the early days. And even creating consistent rituals around how you bring out your own content. So for me, it's still daily writing. I commit to writing every single day, writing in my journal, writing in the notes section of my phone or my computer. I bring out my content every day. And I know I'm not sharing it all at the moment, but it's still my ritual, my practice to bring my content, my messages out every day. So creating consistent rituals and things that allow you to stay committed and connected to what you are wanting to do and share is really, really supportive. And look, I think the thing that's different probably now to when I started is that the industry is completely different. We're still in a really big, beautiful boom in this industry. I mean, the coaching space, the wellness space, personal development, spirituality, it's all still growing, and it's growing more because people are needing it more. People are waking up. All of these massive challenges we're having in the world at the moment are waking us up to question things and look for help and find new ways to navigate our anxieties and our challenges and our fears. So I know it can feel like the industry is saturated, and it is. But until the world is healed, we still have work to do, and we're still needed. in whatever way you're wanting to serve, you know? So it is our work still to clarify in ourselves, what is our point of difference? And this is something I'm questioning a lot now. This is part of the reason I'm stepping away, because I'm needing some space to question what is going to be my approach moving forward, because I want to do things differently. And I'm really clarifying, like, what are my key messages? Who do I want to speak to? How am I going to set myself apart? What is the consistent content I want to create? I'm assessing all of this at the moment. But we've got to identify what is going to be our point of difference, that in the myriad of coaches, or, you know, in Amanda's case, musicians or health coaches or whatever it is you're wanting to do, yoga teachers, what makes you different? What will make someone connect with you over someone else? Sometimes it's our realness and our rawness and our authenticity, because the only thing that makes us really unique these days is us, is who we are, which is why leading with your own personal stories, your own personal experiences, your own personal insights is so valuable, because we've got things that everyone's going to teach about: self-love, nutrition, losing weight, expressing yourself, all this stuff. Everyone can teach about that, but no one can possibly teach about it through the personal experience that you've had with that topic. So the more that you weave in your personal stories, your personal growth journey, the challenges you've overcome, the unique perspective you've developed based on the life experience that you've walked that no one else could possibly have. Like, several of us have navigated similar things. Let's talk about, say, something like emotional eating. But the personal unique way that I've experienced that and overcome that is completely different to someone else. And so I can teach about that in a way that no one else can. And the more, I think the more that you infuse your messages, your work, your branding with you, with the very unique way that you have experienced and moved through and navigated that particular thing, that's what makes you unique and that's what makes you stand out. And you understand when you scroll or you know, YouTube or Instagram, or you're on Google searching and you've got all these different people coming up, what makes you connect with someone? It's a really interesting thing to think about. And I notice this when I come across new people in my industry. I'm not often following new women in my space, but if I come across a new account, I always am really interested to observe what goes on in me for me to decide whether I just click off their account and never visit them again, or whether I follow them, or whether I engage in their content. And the things that I look for personally is, like, I've got to be able to feel the person. I want to feel like I can connect with them, and I've got to like their essence and their energy and what they're bringing to what they're doing. It's not just about the value of their content. The second thing is, it's if I feel like a woman's having a conversation around something that I'm really interested to learn about. So I'm typically following a lot of new women in the space of, like, relationship or feminine energy or tantra or sexuality even, because I'm like, oh, these areas are interesting to me. And if they have a lot of content that speaks directly to what I'm wanting to learn about, I'll follow them. And then the third thing that really gets me wanting to follow someone is video content. To be honest, I will, if I land on someone's Instagram and there's a whole heap of pictures and quotes, I typically don't resonate with quote cards much. A lot of people use that and they tend to do very, very well. But if I land on someone's page and it's all just quote cards, I'm like, where's the person? I personally, it's just me, I want to feel the person. So I will always scroll for their video content. And I will watch a couple of their videos, either video snippets or IGTVs. And if I like their energy, their vibe, I'll follow them. So that's why I think, you know, video content is really the way forward. And it allows people to, if they're landing on you, to get a very quick feel for you really easily and know whether they're going to click and resonate with you and maybe stay on board. And then otherwise, we'll give them a very clear indication this person isn't for me. So I would watch that process more in yourself. What causes you to want to connect and engage with someone? And what is it that's helping someone jump out at you these days in this saturated market? And once you identify that in yourself, you'll understand maybe what is more of what you're wanting to bring to help people connect with you more and help you stand out in the industry. And again, so this is why, like, podcasts and videos are so big at the moment, audio and video content, because anyone can write his 5 steps to self-love and you go, okay, great. But if I hear you tell a story, if I listen to your podcast and I hear you tell a story of the personal way that you navigated your journey of self-love, I'll know instantly whether, like, you're a woman talking my language. I'll be able to be like, oh, she sounds like me and I feel her, and she's like describing her journey the way I've experienced it. Boom, instant connection. Yeah? Okay. How's that all sounding and feeling? Let's see what's coming through in the comments. And feel free to, yeah, share anything, ask anything, anything you want to know. Thanks, Kylie. Just boast my life of perfect days. You know, I have a little bit of embarrassment around it, but what's that? People are always like, if you're not embarrassed by the first version of something, you know, that you've put out, like, you should be embarrassed because it's a sign you've grown involved. But, you know, there's actually still a lot of beautiful content on that blog, which is why I leave it up there. And I like people to know where it came from, you know? Amanda, I get this. I waited so long to teach singing. And once I did, I realized how much I had to share and help others. Beautiful. Kylie, love it. I feel like I need to do a coaching program, but have to find the right one. Okay, beautiful. I think we've talked about it in our group before. I'm not super up to speed with coach training these days, but I do often recommend Beautiful You by Julie Parker because I know Julie personally, and she's a very genuine, heartfelt, and she's a fantastic coach and a fantastic leader. So I do often refer people to her program. And it's the program that I hear the most about, particularly in Australia. Most of the women that I know these days are going through her program. But you also, I studied at the Coaching Institute, which I don't know what their program is like these days, but it was great when I did it like 8 years ago. My boyfriend's just gone through hypnotherapy and NLP training. So you could even, you don't have to do a generalist life coaching. You could do like the IIN program even that Sophia's doing, the health program. You could do yoga teaching. You could do NLP. You could do hypnotherapy. You could find just something you want to start with and then you build on it. It doesn't have to just be a generalized life coaching program. Dawn, I'm still editing my June video and it's amazing how many of the topics from this are in there. I love the synchronicity. Our unique experience is key. Beautiful. Amanda, I know I'm really open to create a safe space for my students. It can be very vulnerable to sing in front of people and put yourself out there. I understand this and I know I can help people with this. Beautiful. That's a really good point. When you can identify what is sort of a pain point or a struggle point for people in your community, and that you can design something that speaks right to that and supports them through that. You know, that's one reason I created the mastermind structure, because I know the community element is something that people struggle with, is that my one-on-one clients would always work with me and I'm like, oh, if only you knew her and you knew her, like, you'd love each other. You'd get on so well. You're so similar. And that's why I love bringing together the mastermind, because community is a real something that a lot of people who are starting out in this space don't have. That like-minded support. So I designed something that spoke right to that. Yeah, beautiful. Amanda, video content is what I'm working on now. Thanks to this mastermind, I've got over the first hump and totally relate to the embarrassment. My early songwriting was just awful. I totally cringe if I ever revisit them. Yeah, I think my early podcasts and videos were pretty rough. Kylie, in past life, I once sang. The teacher makes all the difference for confidence and desire to improve. Yeah. Yeah. And even for coaching as well, a lot of people, maybe not as much anymore, but in the past would hesitate to hire a life coach. Maybe if they felt like, you know, I think the feedback I got in the early days when I was doing a lot of one-on-one was that people felt very safe with me. I think because I created a space that was very real and down to earth and authentic, and I wasn't sitting on a pedestal, I felt like a best friend to them. A lot of people came to work one-on-one with me because they felt it was just like such a safe and nurturing space. And there was even a period where I was doing a lot of one-on-one and I had quite a few male clients, which was interesting. And I would often ask the men you know, why they wanted to work with me. And they're like, I want to be nurtured. I don't want to be yelled at and pushed to get to achieve my goals. I want to be nurtured to achieve my goals. And I want your feminine nurturing approach. And so it's, yeah, you can bring, I never underestimate the value of the energy you bring and the approach you bring that makes you a very relatable, safe place for people who want to do this work, which is why I think for someone to say want to invest in you or to work with you, they need to be able to feel you and see you and know they connect with you. That's been my experience. Do you guys have any questions around anything? I know not everyone's a coach, but we're talking a bit about that today, about coaching, about building a business, about my journey. Is there anything else you want me to talk about that I haven't talked about yet? I'm just having a bit more of a look through my notes. Let me see. Any questions, thoughts, reflections, anything? Did I hire out my website? So the transition I made when I quit my day job was I went from A Life of Perfect Days to WordPress. And my very first WordPress site, I did get help with that. I did work with a graphic designer. She didn't design the whole thing, but she designed a header banner for me and a logo. And then I had a web guy who helped me customize the WordPress by putting in the header banner for me, customizing my logo. He customized some of the fonts and just tweaked that basic WordPress so that it looked more like what I wanted. So I didn't spend thousands of dollars, you know, getting some fancy thing, but I did pay for a few basic design elements and for someone to help me tweak WordPress because I had no idea how to do that. So WordPress is great in that there's a lot of customizing you can do. And you can work with someone who will, and you can probably even find someone on, you know, those sites like Fiverr or what else are they called? You can hire like contractors. I've actually got a girlfriend who's completely doing her website over. She's found someone to do it for $500 for her, who's tweaking and customizing everything. So you can, you don't have to like go full fancy and graphic design the whole thing, but yeah, you can start with a WordPress template and get someone to customize it so it just feels a bit more how you want it to be. And that's what I did. Yeah, that's what I did in the early days. And I think that was probably a really good thing, because if you're a visual person and you like things to look and feel a certain way and that helps you feel really proud of what you're putting out, I think it's worth investing in that. Gemma, I'm really interested in your transition from being a bad coach to a good one. Was it experience and tuning into your intuition, evolving your systems that you saw wasn't working? Yeah, that's a really good question. It was just a shit ton of practice. Sorry to swear. It was literally, so I think the first phase of it, of being what I call a bad coach, was that I was really self-conscious and nervous, and I was very focused on myself and getting it right. And I always self-reflected after sessions. So after every single session, I would reflect and I would look at what I feel like I did well and what I needed to work on. So I might reflect on, okay, there were some questions that I asked and that really worked. So I'll make note of those questions. I might then have reflected and been like, you know what, you were nervous, you were really self-conscious. We'll work on that. Next session, you're going to just focus on your client as much as possible. Keep putting your attention on your client and paying attention to your client. I would reflect on, say, if I've hit a block. So say I get to a point in a session where I didn't know how to help that client. They might have brought up something like from childhood or something I didn't know how to navigate. I would then figure out how to help them with that. So I'd go away and I'd be like, okay, I need to understand more about inner child work, or revisit my notes around how to reprogram subconscious beliefs. So I'd look at areas where I could improve. I made it a little bit more of a sacred ritual when I would coach. So I do a lot of things leading up to the session to support my own fear and anxiety. I would meditate. I'd create a really nice calming space when I would coach. I would tap into my intuition a bit before the session and just ask my inner guidance, is there anything that they could help me with or give me information before before the session. I just practiced. And the more confident I got, because this is the thing, I think the more confident I got, the better coach I became. And then the more that I practiced as well, I began to see key things. And I was like, oh, you know, my clients always bump up against this feeling of not being good enough. Or they pretty much always are bringing a surface challenge, but it's actually about something deeper. And so once I became aware of that, I was more confident in understanding how the session would unfold. And once I'd helped a client through one thing and got a good result, I'd be like, okay, cool, we'll practice that with the next client. What else did I do? I just kept showing up, even though at times I felt like I wasn't doing that well. I didn't let that deter me. Yeah, I think they were some of the main things. Yeah, the self-reflection after each session, I think, is really, really good to acknowledge yourself for what you did do well and where you felt like, yeah, you asked a great question. The other thing that actually is really, really powerful for coaching, and this kind of is really simple but is really, really effective, is one, building a lot of rapport with your client in the early days. I don't do that as much now, but you'll actually find if you spend quite a bit of time at the start of the session building rapport, the whole session unfolds a lot more easily. Rapport might be things like, you know, you just make general chit chat, you ask a lot of questions to really understand the client's model of the world, and then you just use mirroring and you pretty much just repeat back what the client has said to you. So if the client, and I do this still a lot in my sessions, and it's one of the most effective ways to build rapport, and any coach training will teach you this, but if your client comes to you and they're saying things like, I'm feeling this, I'm struggling with this, and you're like, okay, how's that a problem for you? How is that impacting you and holding you back? Well, it's making me feel like this. Okay, how would you like it to be instead? I really like to be able to feel like this. How would that make you feel if you could get that? Oh, blah, blah, blah. And then you repeat back. Okay, so what I'm hearing is that you're currently struggling with this and it's leaving you feeling like this. And ultimately what you want is to be able to have it like this, and then you want to be able to feel like this, this, and this. And they go, yeah, that's exactly right. And you're like, yeah, well, I pretty much just said back to you what you said to me. And it's one of the most powerful ways you build rapport. It's an incredible coaching technique, and it instantly puts your client at ease and makes them feel like, oh, this person understands me. So if you're ever feeling like you're out of rapport with your client, and your client is like there's a disconnect, that they're not opening to you, they're not leaning in and nodding and engaging with you, if you feel like there's a disconnect, just default to mirroring, showing that you understand, mirroring back the language they're using, ensuring, continuing to mirror back and saying, is that right? And they'll be like, yes. So yes is a sign of rapport. If your client's giving you a lot of yeses, you're in rapport. So one of the things I learned in the early days of coaching was to get 3 yeses before you start a session. I don't do this as much anymore, but this is, so often I will be like, hey, how are you going? So do you have everything you need to begin? Yes. Do you have a water? Yes. Do you have a notepad and pen? Yes. Are you set up in a nice quiet space? Yes. You want to get yes. And if your client's saying yes, 3 yeses at the start, you're starting to build rapport. So I'll typically just still ask those questions. I learned that a lot in the early days, to get the yes frame in the setting up of the session. And then you'll just ask, you know, what they're wanting. And it's really helpful as well to get a really clear outcome. I don't do this every session, but clients will often come in and just be like, blah, 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 here's what's going on. And it's really helpful to be like, okay, if there was one outcome we could get from this session for you today, if you'd love to be able to walk away from this session with one thing, what is the one thing you'd most like to get from this? What's the one change you most want to create? What would be the ideal outcome for you at the end of this session today? And you make note of that so that you're really clear. So am I right? I'm hearing that this is what you're feeling right now, and the most important thing for you to get from this session is this, this, and this. And they're like, yes. And you're like, okay. So that rapport in the early days, I think I started focusing on that a lot more. And as soon as you've got that rapport, your client's more at ease, you're more at ease, there's more trust, and then that gives a really good foundation for the session moving forward. Sophia, how do you navigate sessions? Do you allow them to unfold naturally, or do you have a structure? When I very first started, I was given a coaching session structure and a script. I had on a big A3 board, my full session structure. And I wish I still had it. I think I chucked it out, but it was so good. It was basically what I was taught at coaching college, how to run a session. So initial kind of rapport, get the outcome, understand the problem. And the method for me was chunking down on the problem, getting more specific into the problem, understanding the root cause of the problem, like the origin of it and how it is a problem for that person. You know that you're chunking down into that. And then I would coach on the problem. So the problem was, say, I'd then go into some of my strategies from coaching college around, okay, how do we do inner child work? Do we go into their body and unpack some stuff? Is there unresolved emotion? Do we reprogram a belief? I'd then do sort of the bulk of the coaching. And then it'd be about chunking up at the end. So actually connecting them in with the resources they want to feel within themselves. I know probably none of that's going to make any sense, but I worked off a structure that I had been given. And I would pretty much, I kid you not, I would have it next to my computer the whole time. I was like this. So how is that a problem for you? Okay. How long has this been going on for you? Can you remember when this very first began for you? Like, I was literally just like reading off a structure. And I needed that in the early days. And I think if you get any form of structure from your coach training, use it at the start. I had a few women who have done Julie Parker's program, and they've said to me, they're like, Julie's given me a script. I don't really want to use it. Should I use it? And I'm like, in the early days, use it, even if it feels really rigid and foreign, because every time you use it, you're programming it into your subconscious. And so now I don't coach with any real structure, to be honest, because all of that's kind of embedded in me. I draw on it if I do need it, and particularly if a session's just going a little bit all over the place, I will draw on some of the things that I know help bring structure to a session. But these days I pretty much open, I start with getting the yes frame, rapport. I can build rapport pretty quick, and usually I'll have rapport even before a session starts, but work on rapport. Get a clear outcome for the session. Is a really good one that will help guide you know what the person wants to feel and achieve in the session with you in that time. Particularly if I'm coming in with you guys, I'm often like, you know, we've got 1 hour together. What would you most love to get out of this time today? And then you know, the main way that I kind of focus on is once I know what the person wants, my main focus as a coach is, okay, what's currently stopping them having that? What's getting in the way? What's interfering? And so that's where I'll be using a lot of questions. Like, I want to know, what's their self-talk like? What are their beliefs like? What unresolved emotion is there for them? How is there a pattern of behavior that's been set up that's been running for a really long time? So I want to know, as a coach, I want to get really curious to everything that's currently going on that's blocking them having what they want, which is either that outcome. And even if you get a outcome for the session, you might also be like, okay, well, ultimately, why is this important to you? What will that give you? What would it give you to be able to, you know, wrap up this session feeling really clear on, you know, your next offering in your business? Why is that important to you? And so ultimately, you kind of want to understand what is the bigger picture for what's important to that person and what's getting in the way of that. So I will focus most of my session on clearing whatever I feel is in the way for that person. And then the end of the session is always bringing them, ensuring you've been able to bring them into a place where they feel like they've either got their outcome or they've accessed the feelings they wanted to feel through being in the session. So I'll often pick it up in people's language, you know, they're wanting to feel calm or they're wanting to feel free or they're wanting to feel empowered. And I'll make mental note of that. And it's important at the end that I'm checking in with my client. How are you feeling? Where are you at around this? Is there anything more here? Is there anything unresolved? And they might be like, oh, I just feel like so much calmer and more connected to my heart. I'm like, beautiful, okay. And once you can see that you've been able to create that shift in them, I'll often then want to anchor that in even more. Be like, okay, so moving forward from here, what do you want to continue to practice? Or how are you going to keep yourself connected to this feeling? Or what insights or clarity do you have now around this situation? And actually really help them install and anchor in kind of the new realizations or resources or feelings that we've connected with in the session. Yeah, so a lot of mine though is intuitive. So if I'm speaking with sometimes what you'll very often find with coaching is a client will come to you saying, this is my problem. It's usually not. And I'm listening a lot as my clients are talking to, I'm watching, as I mentioned before, for changes in the tone of their voice, in their energy, in just intuitively listening, like when like something pops out of me and I'm like, hang on, tell me more about that. Tell me more about that. And I'll at the moment as well, I share quite a few intuitive insights. So they might be saying something. I'm like, I'm getting a feeling like this came up in a session the other day. I don't know who I was with, whether it was one of you women, it might've been, where was it? No, it was even like, was it when we were on our group coaching call? It was somewhere. And I just got an image of a child and I'm like, okay, I'm getting an image of a little child. What's unresolved for you here from childhood? So if I will sometimes get things come through from my intuition, or I might be talking with the client and I'm like, I feel this is tied to your relationship with your dad. Tell me about that relationship. And so sometimes my intuition now can give me clues that will point me right to the core of what's going on. I'll hear words or get images, or I might be like, I'm feeling this has something to do with your self-expression. Tell me about that. How do you feel about your self-expression at the moment? So once I get the intuitive hits, I'll ask questions to see if I'm right. And if I am, then we go deeper into that. Does that make any sense? My sessions are very, very different now. I don't coach anywhere near as much as I used to. I think it's fantastic. If you want to create a structure in the early days, I think it's phenomenal. And then nowadays it's much more fluid and flowy and intuitive for me. Any more questions on coaching? Anything else that would be really helpful for you on that? I know not everyone is a coach, but that's obviously been my business. So I'm happy to share anything else on that might be helpful. I think we did talk about this. I don't know if I talked about this with someone individually or on a group, I can't remember. But if you do want to be a coach and have a coaching business, I would definitely recommend creating a program that you sell. So I think when I very first started, I would just do sessions here and there. If you actually really want to be able to create consistent income, you want to package yourself into a program where you're selling clients into a program. It gives you a lot more financial security and predictability, and it allows you to know, okay, if my program is worth $1,500, I need 3 clients per month, or I need 2 clients, whatever it is, in order to be able to make this much money, and that will allow me to leave my job. You really want that clarity. And please make sure, I waited a little while to charge, but please do honor your time and your energy by charging money. You can start small if you want to, but it's really important at some point that you allow yourself to receive for the work that you're doing. So I think when I very first started, I had 3 offerings. I did offer a single session, then I had a 3-month program, then I had a 6-month program. And 3 options are typically quite good. It's a good way, method to use. More often than not, if you have 3 options, people will pick the middle option. So ideally, your ideal might be to have people in a 3-month coaching program. And you might have your 6-month ones quite high investment, and your 1 session might just be, a clarity session that won't really create lasting transformation. I always do discovery calls. I offer them. You don't have to, but I offer discovery calls as a way for a person to get to know me and feel my energy. And pretty much my whole discovery call is just building rapport. That's what I spend the entire call doing. is really, really understanding my client's map of the world, understanding how my client is feeling, understanding my client's problems and challenges, and using a lot of mirroring in my language and a lot of showing the client that I understand them, I understand their problem, and then communicating how my offering is the solution to their problem, basically. So I'll hear all their problems and I'll be like, okay, so I hear that part of the problem is you're lacking clarity on this business you want to build, you're feeling stuck around fear and self-doubt, you don't have like-minded people around you to support you, and you can't figure out how to transition out of your day job. Okay, so in the mastermind, what we're going to cover is we're going to do a whole masterclass on this. I'm going to be teaching you how to overcome this. I think this part of this community will really support you because you'll have like-minded people encouraging you. And I'll be guiding you around the transition plan of, you know, how you can begin to build up income. So I will then show that my particular offering is, I'll speak directly to their challenges and how my offering will specifically help them with their challenges. And none of this is like smoozy woozy sales. It's genuinely like this person has come to me because they have challenges. And if I have a solution, it's my responsibility to let them know that and how I can help them. And if you build rapport and that person feels very safe and comfortable with you and feels like you get them and you have an offering that will solve their problem, it's usually a pretty no-brainer for them to invest. And then you just present your offerings. These are my three options. A single session, you know, can be really impactful to get you clarity, but won't really create lasting transformation. And then I have the 3 or 6 month option. I find 6 months is fantastic if you've got numerous issues you want to work with and you really want to work with me for an extended period of time. But if you kind of just want to dive into this one thing, then in this 3 month program, we'll have 6 sessions. I'll talk to you every 2 weeks. You'll get email support between sessions. And we're going to dive into these 2 to 3 key things that are a real challenge for you right now. And I'll be coaching you on how to overcome them. That's if you're offering a coaching program, but this is the discovery calls. You all have experienced it with me, obviously. This is how I do my discovery calls for the mastermind, is just really understanding where you're at and your key challenges, and then sharing with you how my offering will support you with that. Yeah, Amanda, I thought about that too. It's great information. Even though I'm not wanting to do life coaching, so much still applies to other things in my vocal coaching. Yeah, any type of program that you're offering, anything where you're supporting clients, you can use a similar, like, yeah, the rapport and mirroring is so, you know, and I'm sure for you, Amanda, like that ability you have to understand exactly what someone who is new to singing is going to be feeling. And when you let them know and you actually say to them, I imagine you're feeling this, this, and this, and here's how my approach is going to support you based on, you know, what you're going to be feeling coming into this. And as soon as someone feels really seen and understood, you have, you know, you have rapport. So, it's a really, really beautiful and important starting point, I found. Awesome. Any other questions? Anything else that you want to know? Anything else you want to ask me? This is your last chance, really, to ask me anything. Ask me anything you want to ask me. I'm more than happy to answer. Of course, you can come in. Yeah, if any other questions or anything else comes up, you can come into our Facebook group and ask me, and I'll give you support in there. I know we haven't specifically talked about podcasting. I know that's something that a few people would like help with, but if you are wanting to get into podcasting or videos or anything and you want technical support in other areas, just come in and post questions in the group. I know Bianca posted about microphones. I'm happy to answer any questions in there for you about stuff that might be coming up. The other thing with Sophia's question, I would, if I assigned a client onto a 3 or 6 month package, I got them to do a coaching agenda before every session. I don't do that anymore, but typically they would get a coaching agenda. I used an online platform called Satori for years. And Satori actually automatically generates coaching agendas, and it would 24 hours, I think, before my session, it would send out a coaching agenda, or you could just email some questions, or I actually mocked up a coaching agenda in Word when I very first started, and I would send that to my client, and it would just have questions like, what do you want to focus on in the session? Yeah, what's your ideal outcome from the session? What key challenges are you encountering? Something like that. And so they'd send that to me, and it would allow me to prep for the session. And I actually think, to Gemma's earlier question, that helped me a lot in the early days, was to get my coaching agendas in advance. So I wasn't just coming on being like, what are they going to ask me? Like, these days, I don't need to prep for a session. Like, I literally, it can be 1 minute to 10 and I'll sit down and I'll start. And I'm just there and I'm like, awesome, what's going on? Early days, I needed at least an hour before every session. And I would sit down with their coaching agenda and I'd read through it and I would be like, okay, if a person's struggling with this, how would I coach them through that? And I would prep. I did heaps of prep before my sessions. But these days I know I can literally just sit and you can say anything and I'll be ready to go. But it wasn't like that in the early days. So yeah, if you have regular clients, get coaching agendas from them, because it will really allow you to feel much more prepared and confident going in, because you'll know what you're navigating when you step into the session. My pleasure, Gemma. I think that's everything that I wanted to share today. I'm just seeing if anything else pops up from my... my notes. What's been most helpful for you today, loves? What have you gained from the session today? What's something you're going to apply or practice from what I've shared with you today? Let me know. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything else for me to share. I just want to make sure if there's any questions. It doesn't look like. Dawn, you've gained clarity. Awesome. Love clarity. Clarity's great. So helpful to have clarity. But thank you again for everyone for being here, for making the time. You know, so many of you have shown so much commitment to being at our sessions, our live session times. I know they haven't been the best timing for everyone, but for those of you who have been able to attend, I really want to honor you for being so committed to coming to the sessions. Amanda, you've given me a lot to consider and apply. I'm going to miss this. I know, I'm going to miss it as well. Kylie, I have a feeling that it's not as hard as I like to make it, but it will take work, which I'm not afraid of. Excellent. That's a great mindset. You know what? This doesn't have to be as hard as I'm making it out to be, but it does mean I'm going to have to get to work. Sophia, clarity as well. A few more ideas on how I can change up my practice and show up in an even better way. Excellent. Gemma, lovely to refocus on this when there have been so many distractions recently. I'm going to miss it too. Oh, Dawn, major miss this. Oh, no. I always get real sad at the end of these programs. But all of the classes will be up on the member site for you to revisit whenever you want. I won't take them down. Our Facebook group will still be here. I'll still be around to answer questions and offer support if there's different things that you're needing help with. And... this is just the beginning, and I don't know what's coming next for me, but hopefully all of our paths cross again at some point in the future as we're navigating our journeys together. And I hope you all continue to, I know a few of you have really connected and been supporting each other with each of your work, so continue to draw on those relationships. I know from all of my past masterminds that a lot of the members are still in contact and still really support each other's work. So you can set up accountability stuff with each other. Something that I've been thinking about, and I haven't decided on it yet, but one of my members from years ago in a mastermind asked if I would create a, what's it called? Like an alumni, like kind of a group with all my membership, my mastermind communities together, where it's been all past members, but I mean, you guys wouldn't all know each other, but yeah, I'm just going to feel into what I want to do with all my different mastermind groups and what I want to do with this program, because I'm actually not sure if and when I'll run this program again, because my work is changing a little bit, but it's been awesome to lead you all through this. Sending you lots of love, everyone. I hope you're feeling okay. Like I said, I'm feeling a lot better today. End of last week was real heavy. Take lots of care of yourself. Take space when you need it. Remember that it takes a lot to show up for others and to show up as a leader and to show up in this space. And we have to take really good care of ourselves when we're doing this type of work. So I will see you all in the Facebook group. And I know a few of you still have one-on-one sessions with me. So I will see, I think all of you have booked sessions in some capacity. So I will see each of you in upcoming sessions. If you haven't booked in your session, get in touch with me and we'll talk soon. Gemma, I'm excited for you, Connie, and to see how everyone keeps shining and showing up. Bye, Kylie. So nice to see you. I'll see you in the Facebook group, loves, and post your June videos. I can't wait to watch them. And I'll come in and, yeah, connect with those of you who have done videos. I've been a little bit quiet, but I'll be back in there soon. All right. Lots of love, everyone. So proud of you. Bye.